It's a delight to have Isolde and Paul with us. They are mission partners with us. They are people that we support through our World Concern group, and we're really pleased they are here at one of their busiest times of the year in Edinburgh. They work with Christian Heritage Edinburgh, and they're going to tell us a little bit about how the Lord's been using them, what God's been doing, and they're going to share with us now for a little while. So let's welcome them again, and let's hear a little bit about the ministry God's given them.
Thanks ever so much. It's great to be here. And thanks so much for your support, practically and prayerfully. We so appreciate that in the battle together as we are in Edinburgh. Now, as David mentioned, Christian Heritage Edinburgh is what we did. We started 5 years ago with this, and God's just been amazing what he's doing through it. We have a motto which is challenging today from the past. So for those who don't know what Christian Heritage is, Christian Heritage Edinburgh, we've got an incredible story to tell of what God did through his people over centuries in the city that affected not just Scotland, but many parts of the world. And it's a story that's largely been forgotten and buried, and we're trying to bring it out, bring that information out through different ways, to teach, to encourage the Christians, to inspire them, and also as a bridge to reach people with the gospel of Christ, that people might hear how they might know Jesus, who's absolutely wonderful, the only Savior. And the theme today is about Abraham. And it's just a scripture I'd like to read. And then I want to give you some kind of updates, really, what God's doing through the work of the Christian Heritage Centre, not far from Edinburgh Castle. Isaiah 51 says, "Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you are hewn and to the hole of the pit from which you are dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him." It's an amazing scripture there, which I won't go into, but about Abraham and the faith of Abraham. And it's referred to as being like a rock. This faith that Abraham had in God, who called him to go to a distant country. And if you fast forward, you get to Jesus Christ. He's there in this rock face behind him, little niches where they used to put all the different gods, Pan and Mercury and everything else. And he says to the disciples, "Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus says, basically, that's great. And he says, "And on this rock, I will build my church." That confession of faith that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and he's the only Savior there. Now, that's basically the message we will present. We'll talk about the Christian history, and we have exhibitions and videos and languages and so on. But ultimately, it's a bridge to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's the Messiah, he's the Son of God, he's a Savior. Through him alone, we can know forgiveness of sins and eternal life and the power of the Holy Spirit to transform us, to live for him. So we're getting people coming into this Heritage Center. We've had over 14,000 already. So by the end of the season, when we finish at the end of September, we'd have had almost 20,000 people in, which is amazing. We first began years ago, we had over 10,000. It's doubled in the amount of people coming in. And they're coming from all over the world, of all kind of faiths. So not just Christians walking in, we get lots of them. Hindus, Buddhists, atheists, pagans, witches, spiritualists, you name them, they walk in. Even a family who are Jainists, if you know what they are. So I won't go into that, but all sorts of people coming in. But because this passage talks about Abraham, because the theme is about Abraham, I just want to give testimonies about three sorts of people who've been coming in and hearing the gospel, in some cases responding. The God of Abraham. Now, first of all, you think about the Jewish people. You would think it was a strange thing for Jewish people to come into a Christian Heritage Center. You'd think they'd walk past and immediately ignore it. Almost every week, we are getting Jewish people coming in to the Christian Heritage Center. Now, some of them are coming from Israel. They don't speak much English, so we put them down in front of a video in Hebrew about the Christian heritage of Edinburgh with the gospel. And I'm praying for them while they're sitting down there and they're listening to us all in Hebrew. And what happens is that as they're doing that, suddenly they get to the bit, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. I think, are they going to get up and walk out? Or what's going to happen? No, they're still there. There's an openness amongst Jewish people to seek the God of Abraham through Jesus, the Messiah, the Lord and the Savior. There's an incredible thing going on. You saw the video, I think, here last Sunday of a woman I spoke to for over 2.5 hours, a Jewish woman who goes to a synagogue in Montreal. That's extraordinary. She said she'd been told never to speak to born-again Christians. And she spent 2.5 hours hearing the gospel and Jesus the Messiah. So Every week we're getting news. A woman from America came in. She's a landscape designer. She said she prays to God. That's the God of Abraham. She prays as a Jewish person, but she doesn't know him, but she still prays, Lord, give me creative designs for my landscape design work. And when she sat down and she heard the gospel, she heard about Jesus and why he's the Messiah, why he's a savior, she began to really open up and was very hungry for the literature and everything else we had. They're just a few examples. Muslims, they say they worship the God of Abraham, or Ibrahim, as they call him. They come in, they believe Jesus is the Messiah, but they don't believe he's the Son of God. That's what they call shirk, utter blasphemy. You can be killed for saying Jesus is the Son of God. They reject the crucifixion, the resurrection, Jesus being the Son of God and the only Savior. The very foundation of our Christian faith they reject. And they call Jesus a prophet of Islam. Now, can you imagine those coming in? I mentioned on the video you saw last week about all these Bahraini people and Kuwait and Saudi Arabia. People coming in, they're Muslims, coming into a Christian Heritage Center because they want to find out about the Christian faith. That's extraordinary. They're coming from all these places where normally, if you went into a church, if you could go into a church, you might be followed by the secret police. You might be tortured in prison. You might be killed for asking questions and inquiring about Jesus. They come into the Heritage Center, these women, they come in all the hijabs, and they're just so full of questions. And they're taking literature, they take away these literature, they're so great. We don't have any secret police following us. We have freedom to study the Christian faith. What a blessing. The God of Abraham. And then you got the third category. You get a lot of people who have some residue of a Christian faith, mostly Roman Catholics. They get a bit confused when they're coming. They're looking for holy water. They're looking for the saints, the statues. They want to light a candle to Mary, and they can't find anything like that in the church. So is this a church? It looks more like a synagogue, they say, if you go to St. Columba's Free Church. And it's a great way of talking about the Reformation and how things change and the gospel. So we actually share the gospel with so many multitudes and multitudes of Roman Catholics, but also Church of Scotland people who come in, Church of England, and many of them don't know Jesus. You see, they believe in the God of Abraham. They believe that God created the world, that God exists, but they never met him. They've never come into a personal relationship with him. They've never personally come to a place where they realize, instead of trusting in my own good works and self-righteous deeds, I'm going to humble myself and put my trust in Christ to save me as the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and be filled with the Holy Spirit, and through him receive his gift of forgiveness, eternal life, and power to be changed. And when they hear this gospel, wow, that's amazing. Even priests, even pastors that come and don't know Jesus. That's a shock, isn't it? So these are people being reached with the gospel, and some of them are giving their lives to Christ. Well, I've spoken enough, so Isolde's just going to come up and just mention a couple of people.
Just thought I'll let you know two testimonies, which are kind of favorites. I mean, I've got so many favorites. One was earlier this season, which was a Finnish banker who came to the Christian Heritage Center when I was there. And I basically greeted him and said, oh, what are you looking for? I'm looking for inner peace, he said. And I said, well, have you found it? Sometimes. And I said, well, would you like to find out how you can have eternal peace forever and ever? Oh, yes, please. And so I shared with him in detail the gospel. I gave him my testimony. And this man was so hungry. He clutched the literature I've given him. And, you know, as he found a precious possession. I mean, these people, they might have everything materially. They've been all over the world, but there's still something missing. And they come to the center and they find out the truth. And then I mentioned a Christian couple to you, which I only just met last week. They are a German couple. They always get pushed my way if I don't recognize them first. An elderly couple, retired couple from Bavaria. And so I started chatting to them and I tried to find out whether they're proper Christians. And they are churchgoers in Bavaria, and they told me their heartache. And their heartache was that their local church is now only running every second week because it can't afford a minister or the congregation is dwindling. And they're now discussing whether they only meet when the need arises, even less than that. And they were heartbroken about it. They've been churchgoers all their life. They love worshiping the Lord. And so I said to them, do you mind if I just pray for you? And they looked at me with big eyes. And the woman said, oh, can you pray for my children too? So I just prayed from my heart over this couple that God will show them a living church where they can go every week, that sort of thing, and I prayed however the Lord inspired me for their children. And tears were going down their faces, especially the lady's face, and they said, we've been all over the world, and every time we went somewhere, we went to the local church, yet we've never ever encountered anybody who would pray for us. And that's quite a shocking statement one way, but on the other hand, amazing, and that this happened. So it's just so multifaceted what we do. Yes, we communicate the gospel, but you know what? My heart goes out. There's so many people are lonely. They're brokenhearted. They're lonely people, brokenhearted people in churches, and nobody reaches them. They're alienated, and they're lonely. And it's a privilege to lift up a brother or a sister in Christ in that circumstance. So whatever the Lord dishes up on that day, we're trying to meet the need. And it's a privilege. And if you ever have an hour or two, come into the Heritage Center. It's so easy to talk to people. It's not difficult. People are scared of evangelism, but you know what? It's not difficult because people come in and you just have to say to them, well, you've come to this church. Do you go to a church? No. Well, why not then? And you're in a conversation. It's that simple. Yeah, this simple way of starting conversation. And that's usually my line or whatever the Lord gives you to say. And it's easy because people come, they're on holidays, they want to find stuff out. And so it's quite easy to do conversation. Anyway, that's enough of me. I hand back to Paul.
We finished actually, but just simply to say that we've got a table here. If you want to ask us questions about Christian Heritage Edinburgh, if you want to look at the resources we've got there, if you want to go on some of the walking tours and things like that, do come and have a chat with us afterwards. Thanks very much.
Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that so many people visit this city. We know that there's great talk about the numbers coming year on year, but we know that it brings much to the city in terms of economic benefit. But Lord, we pray that some, if not many of them, would hear the gospel through your people, and especially through Christian Heritage Edinburgh. We pray, Father, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on Isolde and Paul today to equip them further for the work and the calling that you've given to them. Lord, we pray that the conversations that have been had, the opportunity, the invitations that have been given would bear fruit, both now but in time to come, that those encounters would be remembered by all those who have them, that people would go on seeking after you, and that we would hear many more testimonies of your Holy Spirit drawing people to yourself. So bless them and protect them. Bless Isolde and Paul. Protect them. May they know your leading. Help them to look up to the cross of your Son, to keep him central in all that they say and all they do. And may they know our love and our care and our support, and that we are praying for them. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.